Well, welcome to iFormRx, where we explore the evidence that matters to ambulatory care pharmacy practice. Today, we'll be discussing the use of coenzyme Q10 to improve cardiac function and reduce hospitalizations in patients with heart failure. While we have several effective treatments available, heart failure remains among the most frequent reasons for hospitalizations, and it's among the leading causes of morbidity and mortality in developed countries like the United States. Thus, a readily available, inexpensive, and effective add-on therapy that could be used in combination with currently recommended heart failure treatments would be welcomed. There has been considerable interest in the use of coenzyme Q10 for the treatment of heart failure for more than a decade. And joining me today is Dr. Alev Gullum from the VA Tennessee Valley Healthcare System in Murfreesboro, Tennessee. Dr. Gullum and her colleagues, Dr. William Forkham and Dr. Sean McFarland, wrote a commentary for iFormRx entitled, "Does Coenzyme Q10 Have the Energy to Change Heart Failure Treatment?" in which they critically examined the recently published QSymbio study, which appeared in the journal JACC, or the Journal of the American College of Cardiology, Heart Failure, in December 2014. Alev, thank you so much for joining me today for the iFormRx podcast.
Thank you so much for having me.
So, Alev, my first question, if you had to briefly summarize in four sentences or less the study entitled The Effect of Coenzyme Q10 on Morbidity and Mortality in Chronic Heart Failure, results from QSymbio, a randomized double-blind trial, to someone who hasn't read the paper, what would you say?
So QSymbio was a double-blind placebo-controlled trial that aimed to study the effects of coenzyme Q10 supplementation in the setting of chronic heart failure. The study included approximately 420 patients over the age of 18 with NYHA functional classes 2 through 4 heart failure who were randomly assigned to receive either CoQ10 or placebo. The majority of patients were classified as NYHA class 3, and after about 2 years of follow-up, the authors found a 43% relative reduction in the composite primary outcome of major adverse cardiovascular events and a statistically significant improvement in NYHA class versus placebo. The authors concluded that supplementation of CoQ10, in addition to standard heart failure therapy, was safe and well tolerated and did also reduce major adverse cardiovascular events.
So, Alev, in critically examining the study methodology, what would you say are the major strengths, potential weaknesses, and limitations of the QSymbio study?
Well, of course, the double-blind, placebo-controlled design of this study was definitely a strength, and utilizing doses higher than in previous studies to obtain an increased serum level were advantages of this trial. Also, attempting to ensure patients were on stable heart failure doses of evidence-based heart failure therapies for at least a month prior to enrollment and randomization helps to overcome some of the shortcomings of previous CoQ10 trials, which were conducted prior to establishment of ACE inhibitors and beta blockers and other therapies that are currently the backbone of heart failure treatment. The impressive findings of reduction of cardiovascular outcomes in the setting of a randomized controlled trial are definitely promising, but there's also some limitations which could limit generalizability. First and foremost, this trial had a relatively small population, so we need to remember that the study didn't actually reach the pre-specified sample size. And this mirrors some of the limitations of previous trials and may pose some potential issues with reproducibility when applied to larger populations. Surprisingly, patient race was also not reported, which makes examining the study results in specific patient populations that might be an increased risk of heart failure quite impossible. We would have liked to have seen a subgroup analysis potentially stratified by race to help us understand the benefit of CoQ10 in these specific populations. Also, as CoQ10 is found in a variety of common dietary sources, such as meat, fish, and some oils, evaluation of dietary intake through food frequency questionnaire may have been helpful in determining any potential interactions between diet and the outcomes studied. A big limitation, though, of this trial was the lack of clarity regarding the doses of heart failure pharmacotherapy. The authors of the QSymbio trial report that heart failure medications were used at so-called evidence-based doses, but the actual doses weren't reported. For example, the mean heart rate in the trial was approximately 80 beats per minute, which is similar to baseline heart rate in studies that examine the use of beta blockers in heart failure therapy prior to initiation of the drug. We also need to consider that pharmacotherapy of heart failure has changed a lot over the 7 years that this trial was conducted. And the use of evidence-based therapies such as beta blockers and aldosterone antagonists in this trial were lower than in other contemporary heart failure trials. And ultimately, this is important because it may have impacted the mortality outcomes that we saw in the QSymbio study. We also know that treatments for heart failure are different for reduced versus preserved ejection fraction. While we know that the majority of patients in this trial had a reduced EF with an average of about 31%, the results weren't stratified, so we're not sure if those patients with preserved ejection fraction would derive a similar benefit.
So, Alev, the results of the QSymbio are quite impressive despite its many limitations. Not many drugs can claim to improve symptoms and reduce mortality, not only cardiovascular mortality, but also all-cause mortality, as that was shown in this study. However, the results of previous clinical trials that used Q10 did not find a consistent benefit. Despite the limitations of QSymbio, and given the fact that coenzyme Q10 is readily available and relatively inexpensive, should this become a standard of care with New York Heart Association functional class 3 and 4 heart failure? What do you think?
So the results of this trial are certainly compelling. However, we need to be wary of changing practice based on certain limitations. While several meta-analyses have shown CoQ10 to be potentially beneficial in improving ejection fraction, these benefits were not seen in the QSymbio trial. We also need to consider the fact that the relatively limited use of loop diuretics in this trial support the author's statement that NYHA class may have been overestimated at baseline, therefore potentially skewing the benefit seen in improving heart failure symptoms. As you mentioned, previous studies using CoQ10 in heart failure have suggested some beneficial results, enough at least for the current ACC/AHA guidelines to comment on its use. At this time, the treatment guidelines, though, recommend against the routine use of nutritional supplements for the management of heart failure due to the conflicting body of data. With regard to safety, the authors claim that CoQ10 is safe and well-tolerated due to the lower rate of adverse effects in the treatment group. However, with such a small population, it's difficult to make these generalizations regarding safety, and they may not be justified until larger trials are conducted. It's unlikely this supplement or any supplement is completely without side effects. A real-world obstacle to adding this supplement to a patient's regimen is considering where our patients are getting their CoQ10 from. Although it's easily accessible as an OTC product at a local pharmacy, since these products aren't regulated by the FDA, there's a question about how much active drug patients would actually receive with each dose. Also, we need to consider that the study utilized TID, or 3 times a day dosing, which may be unrealistic for these patients who may already have trouble adhering to such complex regimens. Also, while it's easy to think of OTC products as inexpensive, obtaining CoQ10 from a reputable source at study doses may cost patients as much as $50 a month. So to answer your question, I don't necessarily feel that this trial will be the landmark study to necessarily change current guidelines, but I think it will definitely open up conversation and hopefully increase interest in conducting additional larger-scale randomized control trials on the use of CoQ10 in heart failure.
So, Alev, I want you to imagine you have a 67-year-old African-American female who's returning to clinic today for heart failure management. She reports that she was hospitalized 3 weeks ago for a heart failure exacerbation. And at that time, she was given IV diuretics and her heart failure meds were adjusted. She's currently taking an ACE inhibitor, carbetolol, eplerenone, and a loop diuretic, all at guideline-recommended doses. At discharge, she was instructed to weigh herself daily, which she's been doing every day, and her weight's been stable. She admits that she gets easily fatigued. She can't walk up a flight of stairs without stopping several times, and she needs to rest several times when she's making meals. However, she does not currently have shortness of breath at rest. Her next-door neighbor, a nurse practitioner, encouraged the patient to start taking coenzyme Q10. But the patient wanted to speak with you first before starting any new treatments. She expresses some reluctance to take yet another pill, but is willing to take it if it will really help. would you encourage this patient to use coenzyme Q10? And what if I told you this patient has been hospitalized 4 times in the past year? Would that change your recommendation?
So there's several things to consider here. We have a patient that for all intents and purposes looks like one of the patients from the QSymbio study. She's got class 3 heart failure. She's on evidence-based therapy, at least it looks like. Looking deeper, though, we need to consider that one of the limitations of the QSymbio trial was the fact that it didn't report patient race specifically. Therefore, we're unable to say with certainty the benefit that this particular patient would derive from therapy. Additionally, patients who are already on such complex heart failure regimens, I would absolutely want to assess for adherence and tolerability of her current medications before adding on an additional therapy, especially given her reluctance to take yet another pill. Given this patient's medications were recently adjusted, I believe about 3 weeks ago, during her most recent hospitalizations, I would likely encourage adherence and be a little hesitant to add additional therapy.
Well, I want to thank you, Dr. Gullum, for joining us on the iPharmRx podcast and sharing with us your thoughts regarding the QSymbio study and the use of coenzyme Q10 to treat patients with heart failure. It's clear from your comments that you believe we need more evidence before we start routinely recommending CoQ10 for our patients with heart failure, but the evidence from QSymbio is promising, and we hope to see more data from larger trials coming soon. But tell us what you think. Would you routinely recommend coenzyme Q10 to patients with heart failure? Should it be reserved for those with advanced stages of heart failure, or should we use it much, much earlier? Post a comment. Only members of iPharmRx can post comments. Sign up today. It's free. And until next time, this is Stuart Haynes, editor-in-chief of iPharmRx, signing off.